For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Right, Nuggets fans, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am joined by my guy, Swipa, on the other side. This is Weekends with Swipa. We go live every single weekend to talk Denver Nuggets hoops, and Swipa, my guy, this was a fun day of hoops that we just got to witness. The Denver Nuggets, they win 114-103 over the Los Angeles Lakers to take game one of their first playoff matchup. How you doing, man?
I'm living, man. It was a really, really fun game. You know, the Denver Nuggets are just kind of taking over the league right now. And, you know, even when they were down 12 points, I think everybody in LA, all the fans, the analysts, even the players, you know, they all knew what was going to come. And you know what I love about the Denver Nuggets is that they just don't panic. And again, that's not something that's new, Ryan. That's years. That, you know, that's the end of the 2017-18 season, the 2018-19, you know, collapse in game seven. You know, that's the 3-1 comeback in the bubble. That's the losing 5 to the Lakers. That's getting out in a sweep to the second round with, you know, not a healthy roster. That's getting out in 5 to the Warriors. They've seen it. They've done it. They've lost, and they've lost. They've lost. And now there's just this calm that, like, there's no situation too big, no deficit too big, no moment too big. We're always ready to respond. And when they need to go on a run, they just know how to hit the right gear, make enough plays on defense and offense. And they did that yesterday in a spectacular fashion, erasing a 12-point deficit in like a minute and a half. And then in the third quarter, man, just really just boat racing the Lakers. And yeah, it's just really interesting. 9 straight versus the Lakers. You know, when we were kids, Ryan, I don't know if you ever could have thought you would see that, where the Nuggets were beating the Lakers that consistently and this dominantly.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way, man. Like that was a dream come true kind of thing for Denver to be able to even fathom like touching the Lakers like that. So I was born in 96. That's right when Shaq got to LA. Like that's right when he got there. Kobe has been taken. Like ever since I was alive, Kobe was on the Lakers killing them. And that's just sort of how it's been for a long time. And so it's why it's so personal in a lot of times for Nuggets fans that, especially for fans around my age and your age, that are like, this has just been the life for a long time. So for Denver to sort of be on the other side of it, I'd say Nuggets fans are taking it kind of well, kind of not well. I think there's been a little bit of good arrogance in there as well that's been built in, and rightfully so, because this Nuggets team should be very excited about what's going down, and the fan base should be excited about what's happening. But it's one game. And the Nuggets took care of business in this one, and we'll get into all of the different layers of this game. But I can tell you from the arena, that run that you're talking about where the Lakers sort of they separated, they got to a 12-point lead at the beginning of the second quarter, middle of the second quarter. It felt like, okay, the Lakers are a little bit surprising. They're a little bit better than maybe Nuggets fans expected at that point. And then it was great for Denver to respond, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I said this on Twitter yesterday. Obviously, I'm not able to be at the game right now. Hopefully, we'll be there in May. But, you know, I asked the question, you know, would the Lakers be able to sustain this? Because they were playing very hard in that first half. They were playing very scrappy. AD and Braun were putting up phenomenal numbers in the first half as well. And if you just kind of watch the flow of the game, in the first half, LeBron James and Anthony Davis had 37 points, and they were 14 to 21 from the field, 67% shooting from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and they were 3 for 3 from 3.
Killed.
Like, again, like quite literally almost could not have played better. And especially Braun, you know, that half-court buzzer beater at the half, you know, and it's just such a great testament to Braun that he's able to do that at age 39. But I think one of the things that kind of got to me was, okay, cool. You know, the Nuggets have just gotten to this place now where they hunted down that lead. They're down 12, in the half, down 3. And as good as the Lakers were playing, I just don't think they can sustain that kind of performance, man. Like, that's just a really hard thing to do, to have to play versus a team where you're in a situation where it could have been like, I'm giving you maximum effort, but we're only up 3 points. And then I know that we haven't beaten you in 8 games, and you got the best player in the world, and you have a younger team, and you're fresh, and you're hungry, and you're motivated. That's a lot to overcome. And man, once the Nuggets turned it on in the third quarter, man, it was literally curtains.
So I mentioned this with game 80 that Denver played against Minnesota. It's those kinds of haymaker runs that remind me of last year's team. They haven't happened often this year, in my opinion. There's been some good moments. There's been some fun moments. But in terms of the haymaker runs where the opposing team is just left reeling from what the Nuggets do on both ends of the floor, where they turn defense into offense, where they kind of kick it into overdrive, get out in transition, and dunk the ever-living hell out of the ball, like Aaron Gordon was doing yesterday and Nikola Jokic was doing yesterday. That is a recipe for success. That is a recipe for Denver setting the tone. And had the Lakers won yesterday, I think that things would have been a little bit different. We don't have to talk about that, fortunately. But I do think that there is this kind of monkey on the back of the Lakers, of sort of not knowing, hey, can we even really compete with this team? Can we really match up with this team? Because they turned it on, the Nuggets did, and we, the Lakers, had just no answer. When that ultimately happened, there was nothing that they could have possibly really done with Joker, with Jamal, even with Aaron Gordon in the dunker spot, KCP. Like, if you're going to keep D'Angelo Russell on the floor, he's got to guard KCP. And KCP hit 4 threes in the third quarter. Like, that was such a big deal. So it just feels like there is this tidal wave that Denver can tap into when they want to now, when they feel like they need to. And it's just about getting to that point. And they got to that point yesterday.
Yeah. And, you know, the Nuggets are obviously the better team. So some of this is to be expected, that the other team that's not as good, they're going to play more desperate to try to get in the game, stay in the game, maintain a lead. But like, even just a coaching adjustment, I thought Darvin Ham had a great first half.
Yeah.
You know, they were playing the right lineups, you know, they were doing a very good job of doubling Joker. And what they did is every time Joker had Rui in the post, they send an immediate double, and they were forcing swing, 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 and saying, cool, well, you're going to hit some open three-point shots today to Nuggets. And they didn't. You know, Jokic, KCP, and MPJ were 0-5 in the first quarter. And then in the second quarter, the tide started to turn. And that's kind of when Porter turned on his engine. And, you know, in the first quarter, he wasn't hitting anything. And then he just went on this crazy tear over the span of two quarters in the second and the third, and really helped him to seize control of the game. But again, shout out to AD. You know, AD did his best. You know, he performed very admirably given the context. But for me, this is nine straight games. You know, I noted this a few days ago on Twitter, Ryan, where AD had been a minus. He's been averaging in the last eight games they've lost to the Nuggets. He's an average of a minus 9.9 in all of those games. And he was a minus 12 yesterday.
Yeah.
So there's just something consistent here. Whenever he's on the court with Joker, they basically flip value, and Joker just shows like there's just levels to winning and contributing to overall team success. And as good as AD is, he just cannot replicate those things.
And it was despite the box score too, right? Because right. AD did a lot of great things in the box score. If you look at what he did, like 45 minutes, 32 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, and 2 turnovers. Joker at 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. Didn't have any turnovers, though. And that's like...
Right.
Think about all the pressure that the Nuggets dealt with and just all the time that the Lakers had to game plan and understand, okay, if there's anything that we got to do against this team, it's this. Got to turn the ball, got to turn the Nuggets over, got to get out into transition. And the Lakers had 10 fast break points in the first quarter. They had 4 the rest of the game.
Like, right.
Denver locked in. They locked the hell in this one, and Joker certainly at the center of it all. I'm sure that you saw the comments that James Worthy said on Nikola Jokic. Can you share those for the class?
Yeah. So, in true James Worthy fashion, and if you don't know who James Worthy is a Finals MVP. Went to North Carolina, played with Jordan. Very good player. Hall of Fame player, one of the best small forwards of all time. James Worthy, yesterday on Sports Spectrum LA, which is one of the, by the way, Ryan, one of the best shows of NBA shows there is.
Yeah.
They're obviously very pro Lakers, but they are very scathing of the Lakers when need be. Just a great collection of talent. And yesterday, James Worthy, after the game, said that to me, Jokic is Magic Johnson and Kareem on the floor at the same time. And so I watched their post game yesterday. And I should have clipped it, but thankfully other people clipped it and then put it on the timeline. I think it says something that, you know, in light of Gilbert Arenas' comments that he made about him being the worst, you know, MVP and all that stuff. I think he meant multi-time MVP. Nick Wright, who's come around now, but Nick Wright saying he's the worst MVP since Dave Cowens and all that.
Yeah.
And then you got people saying that he doesn't deserve the MVP now. And, you know, you saw Kendrick Perkins, you know, in the pregame put up the graphic that Jokic is the last player since Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor to be able to be top 5 in points, rebounds, and assists. And Jokic has done it twice. Wilt did it 3 times, I think. And then Elgin Baylor's done it once. And
did you see the thing that I put out on Perk?
What did you say?
The Despicable Me trailer came out that Joker was in. I put out my own little version of that where he opens up the window and it's about the how players know what their stats are.
I saw that. Yeah, I think like all that together, bro. I think for James Worthy to say that, man, I think it's really powerful because that's somebody that played with them, won championships with those dudes. And for Jokic to get into this class of player now where it's like, oh yeah, he's Magic Johnson in terms of his overall control of the game, but then he's also Kareem in his unstoppable paint touch that he has at all times. Like, that's a one-on-one player, Ryan. Like, there's never been a player like that. There may never be a player like that again, and we're legitimately watching one of the best players of all time in his apex, and he's on the floor. He's been on the floor with LeBron James in now 2 series, back-to-back years, and LeBron has had nothing to say about Nikola Jokic. So, and I can't say that happened before. I can't say that LeBron's ever been just outclassed in terms of controlling the game like that before.
There were possessions in the game yesterday where LeBron did a fantastic job denying Joker the ball. And like, I got to give LeBron so much credit because at year 21, like you're talking about, to handle the burden that he's doing on the offensive end and then also do what the team needed him to do on the defensive end for some of the possessions where Joker was out there. Now, he didn't always deny Jokic the ball. And when Jokic did get the ball in the post against LeBron, he took him to work. He took him to the woodshed on some of those possessions and just absolutely like big bodied him. But
LeBron gets so much credit. You saw the one on the left post where Jokic was like, So KCP was at the top at the top of the key, and then he was floating over to the left. And then when he was like doing the ball fakes, he was just trying to keep everybody at bay. Kyrie was on KCP.
Yeah.
And I just love that, like, Jokic has so much post control that even like when he's not moving, he's still dictating what the defense is doing by just making sure everybody's aware of the pass. And then he got inside on LeBron and was able to hit that turnover, man. And that turnover shoulder. And it reminded me of 2017, Ron. You know what I'm talking about when went ISO.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a different league now. Like it wasn't even hard. Like every time Joker scored on LeBron yesterday, it just wasn't difficult at all.
It's wild to think about. Think about, like, and I know this is a different era of LeBron, like you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if this is age 35 for LeBron, he might put up even more of a fight. If it's age 30 LeBron, who was one of the best post defenders in the entire NBA for much of his prime, like it would not have surprised me at all if Joker would have had a tougher game yesterday. But the Nuggets are now at their apex, and the Lakers are not. Like, that's just that's how it is. They're a good team. They are not a great team, the Lakers. And the Nuggets, I think, continue to prove that with Joker at the level that he is at, they are a great team. A great team that you just can't really deny it anymore. And like there are questions as to some of the rotations, there are questions as to the bench and things like that. We could get into that in the second segment, but Denver's best punch is still the best punch in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, and that's without making three-pointers if need be, too. But when they do make three-pointers, it's curtains, so for sure.
Curtains, baby. All right, everybody, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Jamal Murray. We'll talk about DeAndre Jordan. We'll talk about Michael Porter and some of the other layers from Denver's rotation. Should be a lot of fun. But first, we've got a new sponsor on the podcast. Very excited to debut it. It is Autograph. Autograph, who you probably know as one of the new apps on the block. They are where real fans get unreal rewards. Swipe, I know you can see my screen here. I've got the Autograph app open, and I am very excited for this one because this is a great opportunity for in the feed, in the fan zone. You've got podcasts, you've got scores. Like, this is a great thing for fans to be able to come to. And you've got the communities here. Like, oh, hey, look, the DNVR Nuggets podcast shows up there. Denver Stiffs. That's a good one. That's where we're basically associated with. Autograph is awesome. They're the first app that can recognize and reward real fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. You can get all of your sports content in one place on this app. Read articles from your favorite team, blogs, and publishers like me. Listen to your top podcast host on the app like Swipa, and refer your squad to get rewarded together. See how you stack up across other fans on your team and on your team leaderboards, level up in your access and your status, and unlock some unique rewards on the app. Unlock the most flex-worthy rewards curated exclusively for you with items such as discounted tickets, signed memorabilia, and more. All you got to do is go download that Autograph app. They are very excited to have you, and we're very excited to have you, and make sure that you let them know that you came from us. Obviously, very excited to be partnered with the Autograph app. So make sure to go give them a like, give them a follow, and to go subscribe on that app wherever you can. We'll be right back on Weekends with Swipe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast, folks. Make sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching there. If you're watching on the Twitter feed, make sure to share that out if possible. We love to provide the greatest possible content for you. And what a game to share out to the entire audience, man. Like, how could you not want to share out the win over the Los Angeles Lakers, the vaunted Los Angeles Lakers for sure. Really excited to be a part of this community. All right, Swipa, where do you want to go next? Do you want to go to Jamal Murray? Do you want to go to Michael Porter? Do you want to go to DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, I think I want to start off with Porter just because, you know, Porter has, you know, at least publicly dealt with the most of any player on the team as of late. Yeah. Obviously, with both of his brothers having substantial things happen in their life, both they're fully responsible for. No one forced them to do anything they did. So obviously very aware of that. But Michael being the older brother and then having a very large family, I mean, that's a lot that you have to carry. And his family means a lot to him. You know, they all grew up around each other. They're all played ball, and they were raised in the home together. They were educated inside the home together as well. So for Porter to be able to, as he said, compartmentalize, and, you know, I also think there's a healthy compartmentalization, but also he's playing through the grief and allowing for himself to have a space to not have to think about it or process it however he wants to do so. Like, it's just an incredible feat by him to be able to respond and play in a highly important game like this in round one. And then for him now to have the moments that he did, you know, Porter would have been well within his right to take time off, you know, from basketball if he wanted to focus on his family. But he's chosen, as he said, to be here for his other brothers that are in the locker room. And I just think he deserves a tremendous amount of respect. And the things that he has done since being in Denver, the ways he's sacrificed, the way he's grown, and how he continues to try to be a better man every day, you know, even despite having slip-ups, because that stuff is going to happen. So, yeah, you know, just an incredible performance from him. And I think he deserves all the love for showing up for his teammates and for the city the way he did.
Yeah, it was a big game. Was a big performance from Porter, and under crazy circumstances for sure. Like, this is, nobody ever should go through something like this. And Porter gets clowned at times for different things he says, different takes that he has. But when you really come down to it, he's been available and ever present for this Nuggets team in their championship run. And it wasn't until he was healthy and he was available, he actually got to Denver, where Denver really started to take off. Like, it's, yeah, it was his spacing. It's his ability to be an X factor for this team that has really sort of taken them over the top. And I think I need to keep reminding myself of that, because as much as Denver's formula, I think, is Murray, then it's Jokic and Murray, and then Gordon kind of feeding off of that on both offense and defense, Porter kind of gets forgotten sometimes in the grand scheme of things as an off-ball wing, as somebody who, okay, you're not always directly involved with the action. You're more so spacing in a lot of opportunities. But Porter is more than that for Denver. He has always been more than that. And everything about Denver's starting lineup, like, that's the reason why Denver wins these games. And so, yeah, Porter deserves a ton of credit for the way that he has handled this situation, and for the way that he's handled this season for Denver. He's been dealing with all of this the entire time, and he's played 81 out of 82 regular season games and has just been a rock for Denver.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's one of the best spot-up shooters in the league since he's been here, and I think you make a great point that it wasn't until Porter stepped on the floor in 2018-19 season where everything changed. And they became a contender. It wasn't until then that they went to the Western Conference Finals. You know, he's just everything you could ask for. And he sacrificed and kind of fit in within a role. And then yesterday, when he needed to expand it, he beat some people off the dribble yesterday. He beat Austin Reeves multiple times off the dribble yesterday to get a finish at the rim. And then as a spot-up shooter, Anthony Davis is guarding him, trying to, you know, play in between him and Jokic, and then he makes him pay. And then that block that he had on Torian Prince that led to the leak out for KCP was just incredible, man. So again, just you don't win a championship without Porter. They're not on pace to win another one possibly this year without Porter. That he just deserves respect.
19 points for him in 38 minutes. And that's another big thing. Like, he is able to carry a heavy minutes load. He played the 27th most minutes in the entire NBA this season, playing 81 out of 82 games. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks. It was really funny. I was making a joke on Press Row about like, hey, Porter is just not going to pass the ball here. Like, he's not going to pass until he makes this shot. And it was the three that he hit over Anthony Davis in, I think, the third quarter.
Yeah.
Where he just immediately jacked that one up as soon as he got free. Mm-hmm. But it was the right play, and it was the right play for him in that moment. And it was good to see him get that one to go down. But he did finish with zero assists. He's got to continue to keep that head up a little bit, but it didn't necessarily matter in this game.
No, it didn't. The starters had 25 assists between all five of them.
Exactly. I'm not concerned.
Right.
Let's go to Murray, who had, I think, he had a good game. 22 points on 24 shots is not good. That's not what I would call good, but he did have 10 assists to zero turnovers when Jokic had 7 assists to 0 turnovers, and the entire starting lineup combined for 1 turnover throughout the game. What'd you make of Murray's night and the way that Denver sort of deployed him?
Yeah, at some point, I think we're going to have to reclassify Jamal as like, oh, it's a good game. You had a good game with 22 points, 4 of 9 from 3, and 10 assists. Like, they blitzed him every opportunity they got. They blitzed them, especially when Jokic wasn't out there. And that behind the back pass he had to DeAndre Jordan, like, you know, DJ would slip the screen. He dumped it off with his left hand, led to a dunk. He is making skip passes. Like, he's making the short roll passes. Like, Jamal has become a very good playmaker. And again, like, last 6 games in the playoffs now, he's averaging 21.5, and he's averaging 10 assists a game. That's important. He's basically oscillating anywhere between like Devin Booker and Darius Garland. And he has just figured out kind of how to position himself well to still be effective. And again, he shot 5 of 15 from 2, if I remember correctly. So he missed his shots inside the paint, but he made 4-9 from 3, 44% from the three-point line with no free throws. And he was a plus 9 in 39 minutes. So he's just going to get better as the series goes on, and he's going to get better as the playoffs go on, because that's just the way he works. So, yeah, man, Jamal was really good yesterday. The shot making was tough, the shots that he did make. But, again, we saw Jalen Brunson yesterday versus the 76ers. He put up tour dates, but he still played really well. And he hit enough shots to make the difference. And I think I'm there with Jamal as a guard. Like, he just hit enough shots to make the difference for the Denver Nuggets to win the game comfortably.
So Jamal got a shot blocked 3 times at the rim yesterday. And so, gosh, who was it? Those
Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves.
Anthony Davis got him twice. Austin Reeves got him once.
Right.
And True Teller, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like just cape for Jamal automatically. Denver's going to have opportunities where they get their shot blocked at the rim. Like, it's just going to happen, especially against a team with like Anthony Davis on it. Like, Davis is a great rim protector. And I think that more importantly, sometimes the Nuggets guards have to do this where they take the ball into the basket and they take it to the rim and they draw that help over. And I've seen Reggie do this. I've seen KCP do this where they take a layup that is probably not going to go in, but because they have drawn the rim protector away from the rim and have gotten that ball up there, it allows Joker, it allows Aaron Gordon, it allows others to get on the offensive glass. Aaron Gordon, who we haven't talked about yet, 6 offensive rebounds. He was great. He was really great. He led the team in plus minus yesterday. So it is not always about like rim finishing. It's not always about like those aspects of this. Everything is connected, every single thing. And if Murray is putting pressure on the rim and taking like all of that pressure off of others to do the self-creation, then it's going to help every other player on the team, including Joker, like, who was able to, especially in the first half, was kind of able to feast on the pick and roll a little bit. It was good to see.
Yeah, on the season, Jamal Murray from 0 to 3 feet, 65.2%. So that's the 4th most efficient of his career. He had that one year, the 48-game season, where he shot 81% from the rim. So, you know, more limited volume, of course. But I think Jamal, as you said, it's about creating pressure at the rim And then with that pressure comes, you know, finding a mismatch, but also see if you can get the other team off balance so that you get a mismatch or you find a mismatch on the other end, because now they got to switch like a guard and a center or a wing and a guard. And right. So he just does really well now at like understanding the court and how to line himself up and how to make himself like a visible target as an offensive player, as a shooter. But also when he's on ball, he doesn't just have his head down and like trying to go score, but he's like, okay, like where's this person? Where's that person? Who's who? And he's become very supportive. Like his on court demeanor is also very encouraging and supportive as well. So again, I just think like a lot of the basketball conversations get lost and like, oh, well, look at the numbers and stuff. Like, I think you can look at the numbers, but I just think that if you're only looking at numbers, they only tell but so much of the story for Jamal Murray and for Nikola Jokic in particular.
I wonder, I'll look this up while we go. I wonder what his potential assists look like from yesterday, because it just wouldn't surprise me. It felt like he created a ton of open threes. Murray did, just on these kickouts. And the fact that he had zero turnovers, kind of weaving in and out of the defense the way that he was, I couldn't believe it. Like, some of the things that he was trying were a little bit reckless, a little bit heinous, but he handled the ball and handled that pressure really, really well. And I mean, he's just very comfortable in this matchup. I think that like 15 missed shots, I wouldn't like be very like caught up on that. I think he'll be just fine on the shot making aspect of it. Well, where do you want to go? Aaron Gordon, KCP, or to the bench?
So I think all of it. Aaron Gordon was incredible yesterday. What was it? 12, 11, and 7.
Yeah.
Yesterday. And he was a game high plus 20.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is also him being in foul trouble yesterday. And he still ended up playing 32 minutes, which, you know, among the starters was the least amount of minutes. But a plus 20 in that much time. And it got to the point where they were, you know, Malone was inserting Jokic and Gordon because of the AD LeBron combo. But his defense was incredible, man. Like, he just is a different player. And then that dunk he had in transition was just spectacular. Like, you know, his ability to lift the team up with these, you know, air maneuvers, and then his defense, and then his rebounding and everything, like, and his passing, just incredible yesterday. 7 assists for Aaron Gordon. And, you know, he shot 3 threes yesterday, Ryan, but like, honestly, they were all in process for the most part. Like, he caught them at the end of a shot clock, or he caught them at the tail end of a last pass of the possession and didn't go up with it. And so, like, I love that, like, he is just developing, and now he's, like, in playoff mode where it's, like, I don't have to jack up random three-pointers. Like, I can get a set and get us going to something else. And then KCP, like I said, just incredible, man, like, making the three-pointers. The defense was incredible. But, yeah, just all-around great game. Just all-around great game from the Denver Nuggets starters.
By the way, Jamal had 18 potential assists yesterday. That led the entire playoffs. Like, It was good ball movement. And
Jamal Murray might be able to reach like Tyrese Halliburton level of playmaking in this playoff, honestly.
I mean, well, let's slow down. because Murray's gonna, like, he's gonna still try to get his buckets, and like Halliburton, sure, I think is very much okay, like taking 10-15 shots a game. Murray's still gonna get up 20 plus, and that's what you want him to do. But hey, we should probably talk about DeAndre Jordan and the bench, just kind of to wrap up the segment here. I was impressed that Malone went to 10 guys. I did not think he would go to 10 guys. I thought that he would stick at 9. I thought that he would stagger Aaron Gordon with the second unit. And I'm glad he didn't. I'm really glad he didn't, because you look at the minute totals for the Lakers versus the Nuggets, like, Gordon plays 32. The other guys play in between 37 to 39, right, the other starters. But then you've got Christian Brown off the bench with 18, Peyton Watson with 14, DeAndre Jordan with 9, Reggie with 9, and Justin Holiday with 6. So they go 10-man rotation. Off the bench for the Lakers, Taurean Prince, 20 minutes, Spencer Dinwiddie, 13 minutes, Gabe Vincent, 8 minutes, Jackson Hayes, 4 minutes. You add those up, that is nowhere close to what the Nuggets were able to get minutes-wise, right, from their bench. And I think that's a great sign. That's a great sign for the rest of this series that Denver was able to get that. And I think it's got to start with DeAndre Jordan.
You know what I love is that DJ came in the game yesterday and he just didn't allow for the moment to be too big. He got a strip Anthony Davis. And like, yeah, the dunk finish, he made two free throws back to back yesterday. And you could tell, like, when he was in the game, you know, the Nuggets were trusting him with the matchup with AD, but also the Lakers were like, AD, go get him. And he held up pretty well. And that block he had on D'Angelo Russell was incredible. It reminded me of the Mitchell Robinson block that he had in the game prior. But just a really great block by him, saved the ball, kept him going out of bounds, and then got it into play. So a really great game from him. But Ryan, man, Peyton Watson, dude, like, it feels like, Ryan, and I know this on the channel yesterday, it feels like Michael Malone and whoever on the coaching staff, they literally said to him, hey, you're probably going to get some really, really wide open three-point opportunities. We don't want you to think about it. We don't want you to guess. We don't want you to speculate. If you get an open three, shoot it.
First possession.
First possession he gets in the game.
First possession.
On a out of bounds play, skip pass across the court, and then not even thinking, grabs the ball and just launches it for his first playoff points, I think, ever. Incredible from Peyton Watson. He goes 2 of 3 in the first quarter from three. And I think, again, that kind of stuff, it's like momentum changing stuff. Like, you just didn't expect that to happen. And then if Peyton just continues to have confidence, like, oh boy.
It's where it goes from here, man. Like I said, Christian played 18 minutes. He wasn't great in this one. He got some rebounds. That was nice. But Peyton Watson getting 14 minutes and being able to play, that helps. It just really does. And I think that there are going to be more opportunities for Justin Holiday to play more. I think there's going to be, like, we'll see what DeAndre and Reggie kind of give going forward. But I think between those three wings, Justin Holiday, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Denver's going to be able to keep the minutes down for everybody but Jokic and Murray. And that is going to keep Denver a little bit more fresh heading into, hopefully, future rounds. But at this point, like, you got to feel excited about where Denver's at this stage of, I mean, you can't really ask for much more in game one. The Lakers gave a great shot.
They did.
Great shot. Now, D'Angelo Russell went 6 of 20. They Good. Probably feel like they could get better from him. Do you think that they're going to get better from him?
Sure, they can. But Ryan, I think that's where I get not frustrated, because Lakers and analysts, they're trying to come up with ways. You know, you did a show with Irwin the other day.
Sure.
It's just about coming up with ways. How do we make it happen if it's to happen? I think those takes are legitimate. I think those takes are fair. But D'Angelo Russell scoring 20 points is not going to beat the Nuggets 4 times in the series. Could Austin Reeves score 20 points a game on 50-50 splits, 50-50, 100 splits last year?
Yeah.
They had 3 20-point scores. Nuggets had 2. So obviously that's not just it. It's like when they get into the game, they don't know how to like maintain, and D'Lo doesn't handle the pressure well. Like, I'm sorry to say, like, at this point, he just is not a player in the playoffs. Like, lead guard, lead playmaker, lead guard scorer versus the elite team that's big and huge and strong and athletic and tenacious. That's just not his bag.
Yeah.
So I think, like, expecting him to break out of that is cool and all, but, man, doing it 4 times, bro, that's going to be tough. Tough.
It will be tough. And I think you can also expect potentially Anthony Davis to not have as great of a game going forward. You could expect LeBron to maybe not shoot 3 of 5 from 3. Although he did turn the ball over 7 times. Some of those turnovers came right at the end of the game, so not necessarily wanting to really belabor that point. But there are things that Denver can do better. There are things that the Lakers can do better. And I'm curious to see what the adjustments ultimately are. It's going to be a lot of fun to track, man. Like, I'm excited to see where the series continues to go.
Yeah, same. Again, you know, just unprecedented run we're seeing from Joker right now in the last 4 years. Jamal just locked into what he's supposed to do. He's developed so much as a playmaker, at the point guard, and then obviously the guards across the board, man. Like, it's just incredible. KCP, Christian Brown, like, Peyton Watson coming off the bench. Ryan, dude, like, you know what's funny? Like, everybody tried to say the Nuggets were worse this year, and I do think Reggie is, like, a good bit worse than Bruce in a lot of ways. But honestly, like, look, man, I just think they're so athletic and so defensively oriented around him. It's like, it's not that it completely mitigates it, but it's like, if Reggie didn't turn the ball over Ryan yesterday twice, the Nuggets might have won by 16-17 instead. So I just think they have a lot to offer themselves. So we'll see how the rest of the series ends up going out, but it's just going to be really good basketball for sure.
It's been really great so far. Looking forward to seeing where it continues to go. Let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to chat about some of the rest of the playoffs and just like we'll kind of tap into each of the other seven playoff series really briefly. Should be a lot of fun.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we are back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate everybody for hopping on. Please like and subscribe as we continue. We're going to try to make this as popular of a post-game show as we possibly can going forward for these playoffs. I want to, like, Swipe and I, we've been doing great work together, and this is always the best part of my coverage for the Nuggets. So everybody, please tap in, like, and subscribe to MHS. All right, Swipa, which of the other series do you think you're most interested in going around the league?
Well, number one's easily the Timberwolves and the Suns, and I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
The Suns don't have the most toughness to them, you know, mentally or physically. The Wolves do, but they don't have the great offense. But yesterday they were cooking, and then Ann Edwards, like, showed up. Devin Booker did not show up. KD showed up, and like I said, like, just a little, just, you know, the Suns are just interesting, man. Like, they just feel like they should be better than what they are. And then I, like, turn the game on. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, sure. No problem. KD was getting guarded by Cat. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of things they could have done to exploit that matchup. Maybe, you know, we'll see if we feel like it. You know, Devin Booker, Mike Conley, isolation, go cook. Maybe not yet. I'm just like, okay, all right, cool. Like, well, maybe next game, get him, son. So that game for sure. And then I was locked in to the Philly Knicks game, yeah. Locked into that. And man, when Embiid had that off the backboard dunk, I was like, this man's a truck. And then unfortunately,
when wild right he can that. Move like that, man.
Right. Yeah, just an absolute, just a machine of a man. And obviously, just unfortunate that he got hurt again. And you know, they got to be in the situation where they're trying to, like, you know, evaluate his knee, see if he can play, you know, how much can he move on it? Like, how healthy can he be? How much can he, like, you know, just, you know, it sucks. Because Embiid really, like, was playing really well this year. And I wanted to see him give it a nice little playoff run. And, you know, maybe they still do. But I think those are the two games that were the biggest around the league for me.
A lot of interesting series for sure. I do agree that those are the two I think I'm most intrigued with, just because, like, they're the most fun for sure, just with the way that those teams kind of go against each other and yeah. The way that they match up. Such a stylistic difference between the Suns and the Timberwolves. And like, you've got a great, great defensive team with the T-Wolves, but they may not have the right personnel to guard the Suns when the Suns are playing their best. And yet the Suns probably not doing the right things. Like you mentioned, okay, we could probably ISO here, or we could probably run a pick and roll here, or we could it just felt very haphazard, to be clear, about like what they're doing. And I can't really pick up on it with them. So that's a series that obviously Nuggets fans, you're going to want to tap into. You're going to want to see what happens with that, because if Denver does ultimately win this series against the Lakers, they will face one of the Suns or the Timberwolves. So
right.
keep an eye on that one, see what happens with them. And I'm curious to see who ultimately comes out with that one, because I thought it was going to be the Suns, and I'm not so sure anymore.
I mean, it's one game, yeah. so we'll find out, but I don't know. Both the Nuggets have to take care of the Lakers. Lakers got to take care of the Nuggets. Sun got to take care of the Wolves. Wolves got to take care of the Sun. So as we get closer to it, we can talk about it more. But either one of those teams, they're both going to present different challenges for whoever they play in the next round for sure.
How Grayson do you feel Allen,
out? How, yeah, go ahead.
Grayson Allen 0 of 3 for the entire game.
Like, oh, he didn't go for 3, the bait in 3. The first half like he did in Denver?
Yeah.
What did you think about Embiid's first quarter versus the Knicks?
Three-pointer
to start.
Pretty good. Like,
and once.
Pretty good stuff. Like, that dude, when he wants to, is unbelievable.
Right.
But I think just as the game continues to go and he continues to wear down a little bit, and then he gets hurt, obviously. So you don't want to, like, you don't want to overblame anything.
Right.
But, like, Maxey was, like, he ultimately was the best player for them, despite the fact that Embiid, like, when he's out there, they win their minutes a lot. Like, they're plus 14 in the 37 Embiid minutes, despite the fact they only shot 8 of 22. Plus 14. And then they lost the game by 7. Like, in the 11 minutes that he missed, they're minus 21. So I can sympathize with Sixers fans on that front. Like, I'm very familiar with that. That seems like it sucks. So credit to Denver's bench for not giving that one up so easily.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how the Nuggets bench continues to perform, though. But that was just, again, incredible game from Peyton and Christian. Just like the tone setting was all there. And yeah. I'm excited to see how they continue to develop over the course of this playoff run.
Undoubtedly. Cleveland beats Orlando. That is the true TV series. I just do not really care about that one as much.
Well, I did watch it. Donovan Mitchell had some nice, he has some nice shots that he was hitting. The Magic, they went on a run, though. The Magic got down 20, and then they got down 9 over the course of a minute because they started getting turnovers. Because Jalen Suggs was just hounding Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. But, yeah, they don't have the offensive ceiling right now, and they're really young, like really young. Like, Paolo doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. Like, it's just really young team.
83 points is just not going to cut it. Like, that's going to be tough. Which of the games today are you think you're most tuned into? So we got Miami Boston early. That's happening in basically when we get off this podcast. Dallas LA Clippers, Indiana Milwaukee, or New Orleans OKC. Which one of those is most interesting to you?
All.
Oh yeah,
those are all good series. But definitely
they are, the Clippers. Actually, honestly,
like, if the Clippers can beat the Mavericks, if Kawhi didn't play today. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Conversation to be had about the Clippers.
And about the Mavericks, too.
Yep. And a conversation to be had. TBD.
Man, I want Kawhi to be healthy. Like, it is every year. Every single year, it is something with him. And, like, it's like Embiid, if Embiid had already won 2 championships and 2 finals MVPs. Like, but the fact is that, like, Kawhi just has not been able to stay on the floor. And I think the Clippers, and specifically Paul George, are kind of fed up with it, man. Like, Paul George is carrying a very heavy burden for them. And you should have seen some of the answers that he gave about the extension, talks. He was not having that. He did not want to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. Like, what can Kawhi do about it, right? Like, I'm not trying to hurt myself. Like, he played 68 games this year. It's not like he didn't want to. But again, this is why they got James Harden. This is exactly why they got James Harden. So, James, Michael Irvin, they talking about you. They bringing up your name. They saying you ain't got it. They saying you washed. James Harden, what you going to do? It's your moment. It's your time. That's what they saying right now. So, we'll see with James Harden, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook can do off the bench.
I'm a little bit worried about that statement. What you going to do about it? Oh my gosh. Shout out to oh my gosh. What is it? It's the famous Cowboys receiver.
Michael Irvin,
yeah. What you gonna do about it?
Non-football Ryan Blackburn, everyone.
Oh my gosh, stop it. I know who Michael Irvin is. I swear to God.
What number was he with the Cowboys?
Say what?
What number was he with the Cowboys?
88.
Okay, just making sure.
Stop it. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. I know my football. Everybody here should know that I know my football.
Like, yeah, fantasy football. Fantasy football in particular, yes.
Stop that. No. I was actual football way before fantasy football. Now I might be a little bit more towards fantasy football because mm-hmm. it's been a little bit of separation. Other series, Miami-Boston feels like it's going to be a laugher unless Jimmy can.
No, it's not. I can't believe it. I thought that he were going to lose to the Bulls.
Yeah, but it's the fucking Bulls.
Bro, Boston has lost. They lost to them. You think that this Heat is better than that Atlanta Hawks team Boston lost to? This Heat team is better than that team. So what happens if they start missing their three-pointers and then all of a sudden the Heat are putting that zone on their face? Bam's guarding KP. Tyler Hero decides to have a decent shooting game. Duncan Robinson plays again. I don't know why he's out the rotation. Just came back from injury. Terry comes back. Terry, Tyler, Jaime, Duncan, Bam, Caleb, Haywood Highsmith, DeLon Wright, Kevin Love.
You're naming rotation players.
Which Bo?
It's probably like, look, if they're able to get one game, if they're able to get one game,
they're getting a game.
Then I'll be happy for them. If Jimmy's just out for the series, I don't see how they have any shot. I just do not see it. Like,
I agree. Trust me. I get it, but I don't know what to tell you, bro. I need to see Boston be this version of Boston everybody's talking about. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll find out very soon. But not to the conference finals, though.
Indiana-Milwaukee. Like, if Giannis doesn't play for the first two or three games of that series, do you think Indiana's got it?
I think I might have picked Bucks. What did I pick? Let me see. I think I picked Bucks in seven. Bucks in seven. I think Chris Middleton and Dame, Brooke, Bobby, Jay Crowder. That should be enough. But we'll see. Dame Lillard. Like, come on, Dame. Let's get it going. But then Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, Benny, you know, Miles Turner. They're going to be good still, but
who guards Pascal while Giannis is out?
Jay Crowder, Bobby Portis. If they play the youngest off the bench, they won't. Marjon.
Yeah, that's a Doc Rivers failing right there. He had plenty of opportunities to play Marjon Beauchamp and Andre Jackson Jr., guys like that who could really potentially help them in a series like this. And he just cut them off entirely in the second half of the season. I don't get it, man. Like, I don't get it. I think I'm picking Indiana. I think that they are, like, on top of having a great matchup opportunity against them, I think that they have, like, the health of it. The health obviously is a big advantage. And yeah. I just don't believe in Malik Beasley's ability to affect Tyrese Halliburton in any way, shape, or form.
I do want to see Embiid versus the Sixers, though, or Embiid versus Giannis.
Yeah.
But I don't think neither one of them, neither one of them can end up getting there, which is very unfortunate.
Have we seen that in their careers yet?
No, not in the playoffs.
That's insane. Like, those teams just have not played against each other. How have they missed each other so far? That's crazy.
Because the Sixers would lose, like, they would have played in 21.
Yeah, that's right. They would have played in 21. That would, like, can't believe.
Just beat the Hawks.
Yeah, just beat the Hawks. Just beat the Hawks, guys. God. And then last series here, New Orleans OKC. If Zion isn't healthy, then there's no chance that they really have. If Zion can actually get back and affect the series in some way. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of Zion going up against Chet at the rim. Like, I love that idea. And I love the idea of Shea trying to score on Herb Jones and some of the wings that they have. Like, that would be a fun one for sure. But I just don't think that the Pelicans are going to have enough.
I'm trying to think. What are the hopes do they have? CJ McCollum?
Ingram being better?
Bingram? Yeah, that's big money Ingram.
Jose Alvarado getting
Jose Alvarado.
SGA.
Trey Murphy, masterclass, 18 points a game in that series.
He could do it. He could do
Jonas
it.
Jonas Valanciunas just absolutely punking Chet. And then Larry Nance Jr. I mean, they got some pieces. It's just like
Pelicans have always been talented, man. That's never been the question.
Yeah, they got a nice roster. I don't
trust any of their decision making at all.
Kind of thing. Yeah, bro. I mean, I still, like I said, I got OKC in five, but I just can't even like rationalize away in my head that J Dub, Shea, and Chet don't get that done without Zion.
Yeah. It would be shocking. Like I think that the Thunder are like they're probably gonna cruise there. And I think that like whoever they face in the second round is gonna get hell. Like the Thunder will absolutely
I don't know, bro.
They have a path.
The Mavericks you think would be water for them?
Not water, but like I think that a lot of people are picking the Mavericks over the Thunder pretty consistently. And I'm just not sure I feel that strongly about it. I think that Luka's fantastic. Luka's like he's had great matchup advantages against that team. But the Thunder do have like guys that can just break them down off the dribble over and over and over and over again. And the Mavs just don't have the defense to really match up with that. So I like if
respect the Thunder, PJ Washington.
Nah. He's fine.
Respect Josh Green.
Josh Green, like half of Mavs Twitter wants him eradicated from the lineup. Like now, Derek Jones Jr. has been pretty solid this year. But like, dude,
for no money,
30% from three as opposed to 40% from three, then they're probably losing that series.
Imagine the Nuggets had they listened to me and gotten Derek Jones Jr. and Nikhil Alexander Walker off the bench this year.
Nikhil yesterday. I don't think Nikhil was ever available, but like that.
I wanted to trade. I would have traded first from Nikhil. I think he's that good. He's great.
I mean, he was the difference.
2 years, $9 million deal, Ryan Blackburn.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I would take that money. That would be pretty cool.
he's making less than Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. No. I mean, I believe.
Are you kidding me?
Believe me. Like
6'6" combo guard.
That dude's good. That dude's really good.
Did you see
really
him
good.
Versus the Suns, bro?
Yeah. He's a game like changer against that rotation.
He's like, shooting like 41% on spot up or 44% on like spot up corner threes right now. Like he's just it's like that. He got that one that it's a straight line drive, you know, off his right arm where he kind of has the ball like cupped underneath it. And it's just like a great release, man. I love his game.
Nuggets fans respect him. Nuggets fans know him. Like they know exactly what he brings to the table. And I think you had a lot of people that were like, yes, let's go get him. That would be awesome.
Dejan has this. If you get this matchup, will this mean anything for the Luka Shea debates? If Shea's able to take Luka down?
Absolutely. Oh, it will mean a lot.
You think Shea will jump Luka? You think if he's because their teams, I think, are on par relative with each other.
Yeah, I think OKC is a better team than Dallas. Like, if you remove both of
guys, I'm just like, doing since the All-Star break kind of deal. Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of Luka fans and Mavericks fans, especially, that think if you get those two in a series, it will be extremely clear who the better player is. And it will be Luka. That's how they feel about it. I'm not entirely sure because, like, SGA has not, like, he hasn't been in those situations before as the lead dog in a playoff series. So people have not seen it. The moment that Luka was there, he was unbelievable. Shea could be unbelievable too. We don't know yet. But I'm very curious to see how it goes. Like, I think that Luka's probably. I think he's probably the second or third best player in the NBA right now. I really do believe that.
Luka?
Yeah.
You think he's better than Giannis?
It's a debate. Like it's one of those two.
Embiid? I don't think better than Embiid?
Really challenging other than Shea.
You think he's better than Embiid?
Yeah.
bar for bar, I don't know, bro. And he was going crazy this year.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, bro, his defense yesterday was even great. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like when who was it? Somebody tried to drive to the rim. It might have been OG and got it blocked at the rim. And then Embiid, again, when his knee is healthy, it was just like, I don't know, Knicks. Y'all might get packed up out of here because Embiid looks like he's not going to miss.
You start to realize, man, the Knicks have Isaiah Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson.
Oh, man.
To Mitchell try to guard Joel
Embiid. Huge yesterday. Did you see Mitch's defense yesterday?
Oh, yeah. No, he was a game changer. And McBride was like, that's the guy that you really got to talk about. You want to talk about game changers. That dude was a game changer.
Deuce McBride?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I wish the Nuggets would ever get a swagger two-way player off the bench like that. That wants to pull that quickly. Oh my gosh, man!
I he was higher on my board than Bones Highland. That's for sure.
He's probably their second. I think no Julius Randle, which right is he their second most important like scorer? Most important scorer? Second most important? Behind Jalen, because Dante DiVincenzo.
I think it's Dante.
OG Anunoby.
I think because if Dante hits in that starting lineup, then like that starting lineup is fantastic.
But he's a shooter.
Sure, but like Dante can also go off the dribble.
Can get you off the dribble
a little bit.
But he can get you off the dribble and pull up on you though.
Yeah, I mean Deuce is great.
They didn't have no wiggle. Bro, Jalen was putting up tour dates, and I'm like, well, who else are going to shoot the ball?
Yeah,
they don't have another player that can like get to a shot except for Deuce.
Man, that series is going to be fascinating. Like, I really do think that if the Knicks get out of that, I think there is a really big possibility that they get to the conference finals. I think that Julius Randle's not going to be back for conference finals. I think he's been declared out. But like, gosh, that Knicks team has been really, really impressive to me. Like, they're the only team in my mind that can actually beat the Celtics, like in the Eastern Conference.
I don't know, man. I just think I'm not an Embiid lover. So like, you know, take this but Embiid's good enough though, where his gravity, his sheer gravity when he's healthy is so overwhelming that I just think the Celtics would panic. I don't know if he would deliver on the other end, but they like that. That's what you see when you watch Embiid is like, everyone panics, and I just don't understand why, except when Mitchell Robinson, they were just like, all right, go. Just, Mitch, keep your hands out. Keep your hands up. And he's massive. Like,
yeah,
the dude, he was, like, guarding down low and then up high at the same time. I'm like, bro, what's your 7'5" wingspan? Like, and then he made it a little bit more difficult for him. So, you know, I would say that, like, Boston, they're not going to have they're going to have their best player in every series first two rounds, but Eastern Conference Finals? Finals? Nope. So that's out the window. So I don't know, bro. Like, Boston's really good, but if they were in the Western Conference, would you definitively take them over the OKC Thunder, Minnesota Timberwolves, or the Nuggets? Definitively? In a playoff setting?
Not over the Nuggets, certainly, because I think that Denver, is still the team to beat in a playoff setting. I just don't know about the Thunder. I need to watch them. I need to see them against a good team. Like we don't know. I think Boston is a couple steps further along than OKC is in that journey.
Yeah.
So like I'd probably take Boston. Minnesota, like we've seen it before with them. They can just self-combust.
Oh, yeah. And that's the only real reason that they're even in these combos, to be fair.
Yeah. Like if Minnesota actually, like, if they had their head on straight for some of these matchups, I think that they would be better than Boston because they have the personnel to match up with them.
Ant stare down with KD yesterday was gold, bro.
It was sick. Like, that dude's awesome.
He's not doing that to Joker, but he'll do to KD, though.
there are levels to this.
There's a mutual levels. Respect, though. Like, KD's his favorite player, so I get that. And KD's a hooper, too, just like Ant. Yoke just don't – he ain't gonna say nothing. He ain't gonna laugh either. Like, he just, you know.
Just be like, okay.
Behind the head. Good job, AG. Woo!
Any final thoughts from game one?
Jamal Murray looked crazy explosive on that first dunk.
That was
I love to see it. I haven't seen Jamal get lift like that in a little bit. And it just goes to show you he's changed his game on purpose. More Chris Paul in this game than Darren Williams. No, yeah. That's a reference. If you're around in 2008, that was a conversation, by the way.
That was a wild debate.
That was a great, but Darren Williams was like that. He would just, that's like young Jamal Darren. And then I feel like older Jamal is going to turn into CP3. I feel like that's the where he's going with his game for the sake of his health. Man, Michael was incredible. Jokic had four dunks? With a four?
Four dunks. I said to Michael Malone, three dunks in the post-game presser, and he was like, yeah, three dunks, yeah. Because he asked, how many dunks did Joker have? And he looked directly at me, and I said, three dunks, just with, like, complete conviction.
Right.
I lied to his face.
It was the little tip-in that people are wondering if they should count or not, right?
Yeah. And Joker said, don't count it.
Okay. What does Scott Hazen call those tiger dunks?
Tiger dunks.
Yeah, tiger dunks back in the day. let me see. Somebody sent us a question in here. By the way, I want the answer to before we head out. I think it was True Teller, if I can find it. I think somebody asked if everybody was healthy in 2022. Do you think the Nuggets would have won the title that year, Ryan?
Oh yeah, that was towards the beginning.
True Teller, it's right here.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have won the title, beat the Warriors that year?
Probably not. I think they needed Gordon. Actually, no, they had Gordon.
They had Gordon. They got KCP and Bruce.
They needed KCP and Bruce. And I honestly think that's such a big advantage for them. Like, think of what KCP has done against Steph Curry in his time with Denver. Think of how impactful he was switching off ball, running around screens, getting through everything, doing it smartly. Yeah. Like Denver had Austin Rivers for that role. Austin Rivers was indispensable in that playoff series against the Warriors because of that. And they had Will Barton and Austin Rivers to do it. Like, I just don't think Denver would have had enough. I really don't.
I don't think, but the Warriors, the issue wouldn't have been their offense. But the thing is, the Nuggets offense would have been so potent. Remember, Jokic, the last three games of that series average, and I remember this because I tracked all this because, you know, people were laughing, like, how is this guy the MVP? He had 24. You know, it's funny. He had 24. He was averaging 24, 10, and 5 on 48% from the field in the first two games. People were like, oh, he's a dropper. I said, how many players are doing that, number one, period, in the playoffs? Last three games, he averaged 35, 15, and 6 on 73% true shooting.
Yeah.
And I was just like, bro, if he just had Jamal with him, I think that series would have went 7 games with just Jamal, let alone Porter.
It's a good question, man. It's hard to think about it because, like, you want to give the Warriors the proper respect that they had for winning that title. Oh, my gosh.
Jordan Poole averaged 28 points a game in that series. Never did it again. And got shipped off to Washington. Ooh,
that's
next
a
year.
Good thought. Like, if Denver just has, like,
a moderate defender.
Because here's what would have happened. They would have hunted out Jordan Poole in the pick and roll with Joker and Jamal. Like, that's what would have happened. They would have been able to play Jordan Poole off the floor a little bit offensively. And they would have been able to guard a little bit because people forget, like, Jamal was actually pretty solid that year defensively.
He was.
And that would have really helped them.
Well, he got a DPOY. He got a top five DPOY charting at one point in time, too, in February.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That will live on forever in Nuggets lore.
The 1 week that Jamal Murray was a top five DPOY candidate.
It was just so bullshit. But it happened.
Well, no. It was about his effect. It was an effective field goal percentage when guarding a player on the perimeter, wasn't it?
Yeah. God. I loved it. Because, like, it, like, he did play good defense that year, but, like, even I was like, what the fuck is this? What are we doing? So.
I think if they would have had Jamal, because remember, the big story, Ryan, that game five, it was the fact that Gary Payton shot 60% from three in that series.
Yeah.
They were overhelping like crazy because they just didn't, Faku, Monte, Will Barton, Austin Rivers, and Bryn Forbes. Like, they were overhelping like crazy. And, like, literally Gary Payton would just make three out of every five threes. So it was like, and it came down. That's what it came down to. Oh, and then They would have won game
three. Yeah.
If not four.
Will Barton.
Taking that crazy shot.
Yeah.
When Jokic had Klay Thompson on his back. Oh, my gosh.
The other thing is that Jamal just might have hit the shot. Yeah.
Well, they would at least been in pick and roll to get a shot. Like, oh, my gosh, bro. I remember that was the maddest I have ever been at any Nuggets player since maybe Wilson Chandler in 2017.
Honestly, I wasn't that mad in that moment because I was like, Denver hasn't, like, they don't have a chance. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is not what we should be, like, what Nuggets fans should be getting super mad about.
Here goes Ryan. Stop it. Stop it, Ryan. That was a huge moment.
Saving my guy Will the thrill from
And you got to remember, it was the tax of Jokic winning that MVP and everybody just crying about it. Like, oh, my gosh. So overrated.
It's true.
Just the worst MVP since Dave Cowens. Rick Butcher was talking about, like, oh, you know, he's a one-way player, this and that. That's when, you know, Stephen A. I think that was the year Will Ball was pushing Devin Booker, top three. Ja Morant on me and him on Twitter was talking, got in that little thing or whatever, and he was talking about how Devin Booker should be a top three MVP candidate. And I said, y'all vote Devin Booker if y'all want. But that's where it came down to. Like, it was disgusting. And then they could have went further in that series, but, you know, and then remember, he was on verge of getting swept back-to-back years, and that was going to be like a lazy legacy thing, even though his roster, it's so funny to me. As soon as they get Jamal Murray back, next thing you know, they're smoking the league. It's so funny to me.
Imagine if Devin Booker had an MVP on his resume.
So some people, that's what I'm saying, that's what Gilbert Arenas making an argument. Devin Booker, that's Jason Tatum.
Like,
what if they would have won?
It's just not that guy. Like, that's... It's not who he is, like in that, the history.
He would be the worst. I think him. So respect to Iverson fans. Iverson, Rose, and Booker would have been the worst MVP since 2000. Easily. Yeah,
like easily. There's no doubt. Like, that's just, there's levels to this shit. Like,
not even top three players in the league at the time when they won their awards.
Man.
Iverson won it because he took that team to the Eastern Conference Final, but it was like, okay, but he wasn't better than Shaq that year. Like, not even close. Like, it wasn't
everybody
even a conversation.
Just loved the aura. Like, that was an aura pick. That's right. That's is
what everybody gets. Everybody gets on Nash about thinking. I'm like, well, just go to 2001. That never should have went to AI. I love AI. I had a custom made box with Allen Iverson on the top of it with his shoes on the side, like one of those cardboard box that I would put my money and stuff in. Like, I thought AI was the truth, but I was a youngin. You know what I mean? I just like the braids and the swag and the jump shots.
It's like that dude, like, he's unbelievable. And I wasn't truly a basketball fan until after, like,
until 2015 when the Warriors won the title. I'm sorry, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I missed him, unfortunately. So it's gosh, I'm so young. Damn. Who you got in game two?
Nuggets. Yeah, I think this is that was probably the most demoralizing game I think the Lakers have played versus the Nuggets. Period. Because I think the Lakers did everything they're supposed to do. They changed their game plan. They changed their coverages up. Jamal Murray shot 8 of 24? 8 of 24 from the field?
9 of 24.
9 of 24 from the field. Like, LeBron and AD went crazy and they were up 12. They looked dominant and they got smoked out by like a 23-point swing. So no, I think that's probably the most demoralized they felt. LeBron clearly didn't have gas in the fourth quarter or was pouting. I think I don't think LeBron pouts, so I think he was gassed. I think that was really demoralizing. I think they know they can't beat the Nuggets. I think they know they can't beat the Nuggets. That's a dangerous situation to be in. To go give everything, Ryan, and you know we cannot beat you.
This next game is either going to come down to, I think, and we'll talk about this in a separate video, folks, but this next game is going to either come down to another clutch matchup where Denver probably comes out on top, or it's going to be a blowout from the start. And like, Denver's just going to kind of carry the momentum into game two. And it's going to be really difficult for the Lakers to really match. I don't think that the Lakers are going to be able to match up with that. And if they do, like, if they do match Denver's intensity, then the Nuggets will pull it back because that's what they're really good at. So it's going to come down to it'll probably come down to another clutch game at the end.
Right.
I just trust Denver to get that done.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, great show, y'all. Obviously, love y'all. I love the Denver Nuggets community. All of y'all are amazing. And yeah, man, we got some great basketball on the way. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, shout out to Rocky Tato, 303-720. Y'all know what time it is. Park Hill, Denver, Colorado. Y'all know what time it is. Peoria. I think it was on Peoria Street, if I remember correctly. You know, so shout out to the 90s and 2000s if you're from there.
Had over 200 people in here on the YouTube side of things. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Cedric says, Ryan, you need a haircut. I know. I put it off before game one, and I shouldn't have done that. It would have been good form to go get a haircut. I promise it would have been a good form to get a haircut. I am going to get one. It's going to happen. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please leave a like button. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button on the way out. Really appreciate all the love and support. We will talk to you guys very soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.